Welcome to Share Truth, Apply Scripture. I'm Jordan Chambly, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, CJ Sart.
I'm always here, every day.
You are here. I walk in here, and you're already sitting.
Yeah.
And it's like, you've never left.
I've got my water bottle here. You hear it click? Because you need to stay hydrated. And
yep.
When I live here, I mean,
yep.
I get to walk out every now and then. They let me out sometimes.
Yeah, good. That's important. Yeah. But anyway, yes, we are here, and we have, I would say, this topic that we're going to be talking about today is always timely.
Yeah.
Like,
super relevant.
I was going to say, man, now more than ever, but honestly, since mankind has had opinions, and if you want to go into it, look, since, you know, the onset of the internet and the onset of just any platform where you can go and read about what's going on in the world and then write your opinion about it, we've had this issue.
And that's the reason why in almost every recording, I think, I'm like, all right, when you're typing out your little thing on Facebook, stop.
Yeah.
Think, pray.
Yes, delete that
paragraph and think about it before you post it.
Yeah, yeah. So we're talking about today is this concept that I came across a long time ago. It was fascinating to me. It's a concept called outrage addiction. The idea that you can actually be addicted to being
angry. And I think
I think
it's a real thing. And I think it's something that I have fallen into before. If you have any kind of social media.
Yeah.
And I think most of us do. We carry our phones in our pockets, and most people have some form of social media. Usually, like right now, like of course, the big thing for people for the past several years is like scrolling.
Yeah.
Scrolling through videos, short videos, started with like Vine, which really launched the whole like short videos.
And then,
anyways, now we have TikTok,
mm-hmm.
and people are on there, and I hit so many videos, and I just get upset.
Yep. Yep. And that's the thing, too, is I was actually, we were talking about AI not too long ago, and the idea of people's algorithms, you know, that social media is implementing AI to give you things that they know you're going to respond to. And so as you're scrolling through your TikTok feed or your Instagram feed, and I'm talking about things I don't have. I'm only on Twitter and nobody knows who I am there. but as you're scrolling through video after video or picture after picture, article after article, the things that you stop on, the things that you look at, the things that you respond to strongly – you are telling the machine, look, this is the kind of stuff I like. This is the kind of stuff that gets me involved, that gets me clicking, that gives me engaged.
Yeah.
And that's why the term doom scrolling has come in. And honestly, look, I'm a millennial, and I know that's like a Gen Z term. The best I can understand what doom scrolling is that you're trying to get that dopamine hit. When you're like, okay, I'm bored. I'm going to open up
social media. Yeah, and it's one of those things you do. Like, I find myself, okay, like if I play video games with my friends, because it's one thing, since I don't, you know, I'm a single Pringle, no kids or anything. So
those are the only people allowed to play video games.
Well, I mean, they're not, but I'm just saying, like, I probably play too many video games, since I'm not having to pull my attention away for, like, my family as much. But, like, I'll be sitting there playing a game, and we'll, like, be waiting for the next match or whatever game I'm playing to load in. And you know what I'm doing?
Yeah.
I'm literally in the middle of something, but I'm off to the side scrolling.
And I'm playing
with other people that I'm talking to. They're in my headset. And I'm talking to them.
Yeah.
And we're all sitting there listening to each other breathe while we scroll and stuff. And it's like, yeah, I mean, like, it has become too much.
Man, that's like a very meta social interaction right there. Like, that is
to silently that, just listen to each other breathe.
There are layers to this. Like, you're not even in
actually,
the same room.
You know
as
what?
People,
I guess we don't really listen to each other breathe because I do, like, mute myself.
Yeah.
So you're not listening to me breathe. But still.
Yeah.
It's like even that, like I'm actively in the middle of something. I could be having a conversation or something like that. I'm watching a video.
Yeah. And it what's crazy about this to me is like in the space of not even a generation, in the space of about half a decade, like people's brains can be completely rewired to think, okay, this is completely normal behavior. We can adapt to new things so quickly, not necessarily always in a good way, where – yeah, like you were saying, like you can be sitting across the table from somebody, and I'm sounding like an older generation right here, yeah, but I'm okay with that. You can be sitting across the table from somebody and not talking to them. People on dates do this, and you open up TikTok and you're just sitting there scrolling together.
Which I think is, I think like once you've been together for a long time, yeah, and like maybe, I mean, like, sure. I mean, like, which of course you've got four kids, so you're probably got a kid. If daddy, we, daddy, daddy, daddy,
if we can
daddy,
talk but, to each other in the house, that's yeah, a miracle. Yeah.
But I mean, like, but like once you've been together for a long time, yeah, I think people get like just comfortable and mm-hmm, like it's okay to sit in silence,
sure, yeah,
every now and then, but it, like if that's all you do, mm-hmm, but then but just kind of reeling us back in here, yeah, like talking about the outrage addiction, they have a thing, most of us know this term, rage bait, and it's mm-hmm, like because it is such an addiction,
yeah,
so those articles that have those outlines, like those
yeah,
words fail mm-hmm, me the top, but the title, and it's just like, hey, here's this headline, mm-hmm, and it's like, you know, like, yeah, you'll save the babies, yeah, they're being, you know, or something.
You'll never but, believe what Senator so-and-so said about such and
yeah,
such a thing.
And yeah, you look and mm-hmm, it's like, it's, and then you go in there and it's like, it's not nearly what I thought, what yeah, I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, yeah. But that's the thing is, companies who run these social media platforms or these news platforms, they are monetarily interested mm-hmm, in you spending time
obviously,
on their thing. And look,
which makes sense because yeah, they exactly, got a business to run.
There's nothing inherently wrong with that. But what the problem is always human yeah, nature.
But then, but on that topic, mm-hmm, wheeling it back to the social media platforms and stuff like TikTok,
yeah,
now you have people that are trying to make their living through that.
Yes.
So they try to rage bait uh-huh, you on to come to their video, and or like they'll say something awful.
Yeah.
Because it, or they'll like, and some of, half of what you see is fake.
Mm-hmm.
There's a ton of stuff that's not even real.
Oh, yeah. You see,
there's some that are super obvious.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. You see these videos of people going into public and doing something absolutely outrageous, and you know that if that thing was real, somebody would probably like pick them up and carry them out of there,
yeah,
because that was ridiculous. So most of it, I do yeah, think there is a lot of stuff that's staged, and it's just
they're trying
to
get, but they're trying irritated, to get you to share it with your friends. Mm-hmm. But look at this,
yeah,
and they're trying to get you to view it multiple times,
yeah,
because they know that like mm-hmm, once we see something that yeah, affects us and makes us that angry,
yeah,
we're gonna stick around, yeah, and then we're gonna yeah, start commenting because we're mad,
yeah, and I think the common thread through all of this thing is our tendency to really, really be – it brings out the worst in us. I'll say that.
Yeah,
it brings
I
out
agree.
The, it brings out our ability to really just be angry at people who honestly they don't know us. We don't know them. They've got yeah, nothing to do with us. And why were we even invited into this situation in the first place? We've yeah, got nothing to do
and,
about
and
this.
And half the time, another part mm-hmm, of the issue is you only have half the story.
Yeah.
You don't know the whole story, but mm-hmm, you're still in the comments and going, you go, girl.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, you know, go tell him.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you don't even know, like, maybe she's telling the truth. You mm-hmm, don't, but you don't know her. And believe it or not, yeah, liars still exist.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And so, yeah, what it's doing, and what the scary thing about this is that literally as you or your kids or whoever's using the platform or going through the scrolling, this is rewiring your brain in such a way that it's highlighting the most negative things. So
yeah,
it's highlighting your judgmentality. So like when you look at somebody and you judge them, it's bringing that out, and you're practicing that over and over and over. You are standing in a place of I'm in the right here. I'm the one who's righteous yeah, in this situation. This person is awful. It's giving you that feedback over and over and over again. How does that impact your worldview when you go out yeah, the door and you, as the kids say, touch grass and actually sit across the table face to face with a human being?
Yeah.
How is that actually changing the way you see people in real life?
I think one thing is a lot of us have forgotten how to have empathy.
Yeah.
Of any kind. And that is even with somebody who is in the wrong.
Yeah.
Like, we're no longer viewing them as a human, as some soul that is mm, bound for eternity.
Yeah.
We are looking at them as just the enemy.
Yeah.
And, I mean, obviously, there are things in the world, I think, that as a as a believer that you should just be upset about. And yeah. And because too many of us also stay quiet.
Yeah.
Because we think as believers we shouldn't speak out. Like,
sure.
Like we shouldn't be mean to people.
Right.
And I don't agree with that necessarily. I mean, like, I don't agree not be mean to people,
yeah.
but like, but addressing things that are going on
right.
in the world.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've talked about this before. You have to bring it back to,
mm-hmm.
yes, you should be addressing things going, but there's a certain way to do that,
mm-hmm.
And to do it and still maintain your, you know, like your image of as a believer.
Yes.
That, and, you know, you're like, I stood for the truth.
Yeah.
But I did it out of love. And,
exactly.
And, like, sometimes when you like outrage and the anger just take over, you're not going to do that.
Exactly.
You just want to be right. You want to yeah. be right.
Yeah.
You want the other person to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to cut them
mm-hmm.
with your words and things like that. So, and in that instance, are you acting like a Christian?
That's a great point, because I believe, and the Bible teaches this, and Paul talks about this in Colossians, that a Christian's words should be full of grace and seasoned with salt.
Mm-hmm.
So, kind and truthful.
Yeah.
That's really what that means. Your words should carry weight. Your words should be effective. At the same time, your words should be full of grace. I feel like we've forgotten how to marry those two things together and practice that, because we want to err on one side or the other, right? We
mm-hmm.
either want to be all salty and no grace. And for a lot of us, that's the easiest way to go. Or if
yeah.
you really care about what people think about you and you put that on a high, you know, standard, then you might be tempted to be all grace and no salt and just being just the nice guy and
yeah.
not really standing up for anything. You don't want to – Paul says you have to have truth and grace, and one is not more important than the other. And so what a Christian should do is Christians should sound like a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at Jesus in the Bible, when he has encounters with people who are outside the kingdom of God, so he's having encounters with Gentiles, he's talking to the unbelievers, he's talking to the woman at the well, he's talking to the Samaritans, what is his attitude towards people who are outside of that covenant? It is all mercy, it is all grace, it's kindness, but he tells the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he turns around, he talks to the Pharisees, he talks to the people who are in the covenant, he talks to the people who memorize massive portions of scripture all their life. They are the experts. They should know. His words to them are often very, very salty, but yet he treats them with grace if they will be honest with him. So like Nicodemus, for one. Nicodemus
mm-hmm.
was sent to Jesus to trip him up in his words. I really like Nicodemus was when he came to Jesus. You know, I can just imagine his Pharisee buddies being like, you need to ask him this question, this question, this question. Make sure we get this, you know.
Yeah, he had the list.
He had the list. And then he came, and he was an honest guy. I think that Nicodemus was probably
a
decent
I don't think it was necessarily just a bad guy. He just thought,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, he's
curious. He'd been this righteous man of God for all these years, and he didn't see himself as being wrong.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And so he's going to ask this rabbi, you know, what about these things. And Jesus deals with him. In one of the most gracious ways you ever see in the Bible, and presents the gospel in just excruciatingly clear detail to him.
Yeah.
Just lays it out. And that is our model
mm-hmm.
for how we interact with the world. That's our model for how we interact
yeah.
with unbelievers. When we're talking to someone who doesn't know God,
yeah.
then we want to represent God. What is God's attitude towards a sinner?
I think putting it very simply, when you deal with anybody in any way, whether it's the person like who's, you know, taking your food order, or me looking at you, or the person on the other side of the internet
yeah.
whose video you're commenting on, you should look at that person mm-hmm. as, I want to see you in heaven with me someday.
Yeah.
Every one of them.
Exactly.
And there are some people out there who do truly horrific things.
Mm-hmm.
Are they completely, like, incapable of being, you know, under the grace of God?
Yeah.
Not living that way? Maybe not.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you look at it, the only difference in us, me and you, Jordan,
yeah.
the only difference in us and those people is that we did accept Christ.
Yeah.
But there was a time
mm-hmm.
when we were in our sin and bound, just as bound for hell as mm-hmm. them, as any of them. And so when we're dealing with these people, you look at them and you go, you're a soul bound for hell. Because you have not accepted Christ, you're not living a Christian life, And I want that to change.
Yeah.
And that's how you, I mean, and even when you're having to reprimand somebody yeah. or tell someone they're wrong about something like that, that's how you should deal with them.
Absolutely.
And Absolutely. And then, and for anybody who is thinking, like, as long as you don't compromise, I think you, I mean, I don't think you can, like, if you truly want someone to be in heaven with you someday, you can't compromise on your beliefs. You can't lie to them and tell them their life and stuff is okay.
Yeah.
Just because you don't want to hurt their feelings, because that's going to do the opposite.
Yeah.
They're going to continue living in sin.
Absolutely.
So.
And you were talking about, you know, that when we're sitting across, you know, whatever that medium is, whether it's a table or the internet, mm-hmm. and you see that, man, this person's life and the thing that they're saying or the thing that they're doing is absolutely horrendous. You know, Christian history is full of these people.
Yeah.
From Paul. First of all, the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the Bible, or at least a large chunk of it, he calls himself the chief of sinners. He persecuted Christians. He put mm-hmm. them to death. And I think of one guy, John Newton. John mm-hmm. Newton wrote Amazing Grace. He dedicated his life to serving God. But before that, he was a slave trader. He practiced arguably one of the most evil things humanity has ever done. Just the absolute dehumanization and treating humans like animals.
Yeah.
And ripping them from their homes and just treating them in unimaginable ways. He was a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
He came to Christ. And if you know his story and then you read Amazing Grace afterwards, I think that hymn to a lot of us it just becomes noise because we hear it so often. But when you really read it and knowing his story, it becomes so much more powerful.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of God that we're dealing with. And that's the kind of God we are representing. And so when you are engaging with someone who, yeah, they're doing some truly awful stuff or they are espousing some really, really terrible beliefs, who are you representing? Are you representing
Yeah.
a God who is like, I'm about to smite them. If they don't straighten up, I'm about to, you know, do it. Or are you representing the God who sent his son to die on the cross yeah. for them? And that needs to come across clearly when we communicate.
Look at Paul.
Yep.
Look at Paul. He obviously was one of the biggest anti-Christian
yeah.
men that walked the planet. Mm-hmm. He persecuted many believers for mm-hmm. their faith. Because he was a strong, righteous Jew.
Yeah.
In his mind, he was doing what was right. They're spreading this evil, false doctrine yeah. until he met Jesus
mm-hmm.
on the Damascus Road
mm-hmm.
and was blinded. Mm-hmm. And he had a, you know, and it changed his life. And then he had to go forward, now a changed man.
Yeah.
And go speak to other believers, and you know, those people, you know, were like, hey,
yeah.
this is the man that being stoned, like, let's, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but I mean,
yeah.
like, but God used him. Mm. And so, I mean, obviously, again, look at these people. You're like, if God gets a hold of that person,
mm-hmm.
what kind of testimony is that going to be?
Absolutely.
How is he going to use that? Because if he's using people who are already perfect, it's like, okay, well, there's no shift, no change in your life. Good for you. You were just been walking around great and perfect. But he uses, and the thing is like, there's nobody
yeah.
that's perfect.
Yeah.
So you got to just know there's nobody perfect. But these people with these big stories,
mm-hmm.
just like, you're mm-hmm. like, why would God use that person? I was like, because that's showing power and what he can do.
Yeah.
So when you're looking at these people, and like, instead of feeling this outrage and anger towards them,
mm.
number one, you should be heartbroken.
Yes.
You know, by the life that they're leading. But number two, look at the potential.
Yeah.
Like, if this mm-hmm. person came to Christ,
mm-hmm.
if they truly gave themselves to Christ, mm-hmm. like what would happen? Like yeah. what kind of story would that be?
Yeah. And I know that we have the particular people, either they're in our lives or we just know about them, that we're thinking about right now, the people who are in those situations or who are doing those things or saying those things, and we're thinking about them, let's just remember that this is a great opportunity to think about them and pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
And as you encounter their videos online or their podcast episodes or just encounter them
Facebook
at home
posts
or whatever yeah. that is. I mean, we probably have a list of people. We just remember, first of all, that we need to be praying for them, praying for their souls, praying for that God would intervene in their lives and correct them and glorify himself through them. But also pray for yourself, knowing that when you're engaging with social media, with media in general, it's literally designed to pull you in.
Yeah.
Like you're interacting with something that's not really innocent in what it's trying to do. They've intentionally designed these systems to pull you in, to make it addicting for you, because the more time you spend on their platform, the more money they make.
Yeah.
That is just a fact.
Yep.
And knowing that going in can help you be mindful of, is this an emotion that I really need to be feeling right now?
Yeah.
Or is this something that has been stirred up in me because I'm using a product?
Yeah. Well, I would like to encourage anybody that's listening to take a little time and really reflect. Now, some of you, and Jordan, I know that you noticed, like, it's just better for you. You don't care for staying on social media anyway, so you've kind of...
I'm off. You've cut out, for the most part.
You've cut out most of your, like, social media, and you keep things to a minimum. And I think that's honestly such a good practice.
Yeah.
And if you are looking at yourself, just spend some time with the Lord and reflect.
Mm-hmm.
And if you feel like, I do get baited into those, like, those videos and those stories way too much, and I get really upset, and maybe it's, if you are struggling with that.
Yeah.
There's some steps I think you could take. Number one, I think maybe if you don't want to completely delete your profile, whatever, just step one, delete it from your phone. Delete the delete the social media from your phone and stuff. And I don't know, take some time. Even if you don't plan to stay off of social media forever, I think it'd be good to take a little social media sabbatical.
Yeah, and the thing is too, a good part, I guess, of a lot of these social media platforms wanting to keep you on is that when you go to delete your account, they're like, well, you could deactivate it for a while if you want.
Yeah.
That's a good thing, too, because I do think having those extra steps of like, okay, so you've built up this habit. First thing in the morning, you check your Facebook, you know, if you're still on Facebook. And you go there and you're like, oh, wait, I deactivated it. And I'll have to like type in a security code and I'll have to go check my email and remember my password. All of these extra steps are going to be like, you know what? The easiest way forward is just to not do it.
Yeah.
and that's a good way to break a habit. And that's the thing is like these are highly addicting things, highly addicting systems. They're giving you what you want to see or what's going to get the biggest reaction out of you. They're here to keep you in them. And so breaking those habits is a good thing for a lot of reasons, spiritually, mentally, and relationally. Yeah.
Well, I know there are apps out there that also help with that, the kind of thing. I know some friends of mine that have these apps on their phone that regulate the amount of time they're allowed to use certain social media apps.
Yeah.
And they only have so many minutes a day they can use.
Yeah.
And they have that. And then they have like an accountability friend who knows a special code.
Yeah.
And they know it. The one with the phone doesn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
They have to get their friend to type in that. And so they can adjust anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so like at the end of the day, it's like, oh, I only have like 5 minutes left of Instagram time.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And maybe that's a good way. But I really think if you've really been struggling with it, though, and it's something, I think it would be good to take a good long sabbatical. And I don't mean like a week. I mean like a month or more.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe a couple months at least.
Mm-hmm.
Just take some time and reflect and see how you feel at the end of that period of time. Like, do you feel like you are in a better place mentally, spiritually, and all that? Mm-hmm. And then maybe use that time elsewhere. Spend time in the Word.
Yeah. And I will tell you this, like a lot of times we come off of social media and our reaction, especially as Christians, because we're concerned, is, man, the world is such a dark and evil place. There's so many terrible things going on around us. And we're just bombarded again with that doom that comes with the endless scrolling through every horrible thing you possibly imagine. If you set that aside and you go out your front door and you actually interact with people, there's your real world.
Mm-hmm.
There's where God put you. Those are the people that you could really have a meaningful interaction with and maybe even impact them eternally. The world that is presented to you through your phone screen is not the real world. It is a collection. It's a curation of things and news items and things, a lot of which are important and a lot of which are not. Mm-hmm. And it's designed to get a reaction out of you. That is not the real world. It's easy for us to get caught up in that and spiral into anxiety, depression, and panic because we think everything around me is burning right now. You don't have the mental ability to carry that weight, and neither should you.
I mean, I think that there is a certain degree you need to be aware of what's going on in the world. I think some places, though, that you're getting outraged at is not, quote-unquote, the real world. Yes. It's just it's this social media bubble most of the time. Yeah. I think another good step you can take, that if you want to stay on certain platforms, come through the what you follow.
Yes.
And those accounts that you struggle with the most, mm-hmm. I know, like, unfollow them. The ones that you're like, man, when I watch this one, I just get mad. Mm-hmm. Unfollow that account.
Yeah.
And when you come across those videos on your For You page, I know on TikTok you can hold it down and click not interested and start trying to redo your For You page mm-hmm. algorithm. Do what you got to do to, like, set some boundaries.
Yeah. And if you want to have a high standard to hold things up to, after you experience something on social media, whether it's a video or you read something, just check in with yourself real quick and be like, was I encouraged towards Christ-likeness? Yeah. Was I edified in any way? Or was I challenged to think differently? Or am I just angry?
Yeah.
And the anger of man accomplishes nothing, does not accomplish the righteousness of God.
Yeah. One more quick thing I really think is a good step is to maybe post some reminders around your home.
Yeah.
Make a reminder, put it on your fridge. Mm-hmm. Make a reminder and put it in your bathroom. Stuff like that, and just have it all over your home. That's like, and then like look at it mm-hmm. every time. It'll be everywhere. Just like, hey, unplug for a while.
Absolutely, and that's what we always say here at Share Truth by Scripture is to surround yourself with the Word of God and to engage with it every day, so that you can grow more and more like Jesus as you progress through life. That is the goal. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening. Until next week, continue to share truth and apply Scripture.